Well, today, as President Obama refocuses the nation's counterterrorism policies, he's also going to address the ongoing efforts to close the Guantanamo Bay detention facility in Cuba. Now, the president ordered the military prison closed when he first took office back in January 2009 and confronted a Congress, Republicans and Democrats that said no. They blocked it on several levels. Now the president hopes to send many of the prisoners in Guantanamo, particularly from Yemen, back to their home country. And he plans to appoint a State Department official to oversee those transfers. Joining us is Jennifer Daskal, a fellow at the Center on Law and National Security at Georgetown University Law Center. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Well, as I mentioned, the president has confronted a big flat no from Congress on his election promise to close Guantanamo Bay. We have heard that he plans to take some prisoners, a couple dozen, I guess, particularly from Yemen, and repatriate them back. What do we know about how that's going to work?
Well, at this point, we don't know a whole lot of details. But what we can expect is that while Congress has, to a large extent, stymied his efforts to close Guantanamo, they have granted him a so-called national security waiver on restrictions of transfers out, which allow him to allow the Secretary of Defense to waive some of the restrictions based on assertions of certain security conditions being met and transfer detainees out of Guantanamo. There are, of the 166 detainees still in Guantanamo, there are 86 that have been cleared for transfer or what's called conditional transfer based on conditions in Yemen. And so my guess is that the administration will start with some subset of those, transfer them back to Yemen, see what happens, work with the Yemeni government. The new Yemeni government is a government that this administration has a very good relationship with. And hopefully we will start seeing some movement on Guantanamo.
Now, Jennifer Daskal, you said see what happens when they're transferred back to Yemen. You and I both know that lots of people, American citizens and members of Congress, are really worried about that see what happens. What if they return to the battlefield? How might we track these folks, stay next to them to see if they become terrorists again or join the fight?
So all of these transfers take place with a combination of security guarantees and humane treatment guarantees. And by security guarantees, the U.S. presumably works with the host nation, with Yemen in this case, to put in place a range of possible so-called solutions, including surveillance mechanisms, monitoring mechanisms. It's possible that they would set up some sort of rehabilitation center to deal with some of these individuals. And so, with a combination of monitoring and surveillance and other tools at both governments' disposal, I think, it's likely, it's hopeful that there are ways to keep tabs on most of these men. Now, we don't live in a risk-free world, and we can't expect to live in a risk-free world. We accept risk every time we release somebody from prison. We accept risk every time we release somebody on bail. And so at some point, there needs to be some acceptance of risk if this goal of closing Guantanamo is to take place. And the president, along with Senator McCain and many others, have talked about the national security interest in closing Guantanamo.
We're basically talking about a situation where a detainee, in this case from Yemen, would be sent back to his home country, but not free in the sense of being, sure, freed from Guantanamo, but not freed in the sense of having complete, sort of self-determination. This person would be closely watched by the Yemenis and certainly by us.
Presumably. I mean, again, we don't know any of the details, but that would be my guess, that there would, at a minimum, be some sort of monitoring in place.
Well, Jennifer Daskal, before we let you go, we started then talking about the closing of Guantanamo, but the president is talking about this today. Congress has made it clear, right, that they don't want Guantanamo closed. There are about half of these detainees or a third of them that can be transferred, but we're not really talking about closing the prison, are we?
Well, the president has said that that's his goal. I mean, nobody should be fooled. Doing so is not easy. That's why it's taken, the president promised to do so in a year, and now we are 5 years later. But there are, as I said, of the 166 detainees, there are 86 that have been cleared for transfer, conditional transfer. That's the easiest place to start. There's some subset that are slated for prosecution. And the other thing that I'm hopeful that we'll hear from the president today is that he's going to start up these so-called periodic review boards, which were promised to begin approximately a year ago, that would do annual reviews of, or actually biannual reviews of the detainees' threat level to determine if any of the remaining detainees, the threat has been sufficiently mitigated that the administration feels safe enough in transferring them out. And with a combination of those measures, I mean, my hope is that you can significantly reduce the size of the Guantanamo population, and at some point, the legal authority for holding these guys will no longer be there. The only reason that the administration is able to hold these men in Guantanamo is pursuant to the ongoing armed conflict between the United States, Al-Qaeda, and the Taliban. And if that conflict is over, then there's no longer any authority for holding them.
Jennifer Daskal is a senior fellow at the Center on Law and National Security at Georgetown University Law Center. Jennifer, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.